So the topic today will be the Ten Commandments. We're going to be reading through them. So go to the first commandment. I'm going to read and explain. First commandment is, I am the Lord your God, you shall not have strange gods before me. Say that. I am the Lord. You say it again. I am the Lord your God, shall not have strange gods before me. Okay, now, make a good confession. You go through the commandments. The steps we learned last week were examination of conscience, sorrow for sin, firm purpose of amendment, confess your sins to the priest, do the penance, and you're forgiven, and you leave with your conscience at peace and your heart pure. Okay, the first question that we have to examine our conscience on is, have I really loved God above all things? Or have I made other things our God? Money. How many people put money above God? Many. Clothes. Sports, TV, celebrity, more important than God. Okay, open up your sheet and you're going to follow me. Okay, open up your sheet. So any person, place, thing that we place above God is an idol. The nature of an idol is when we place person, place, or thing above God. And many people have money as the object of their life. Many people, they pay attention to clothes or sports. You go to watch so many sports programs on Sunday, you don't even go to Mass. Pretty common. Okay. Move over then. Move over. TV, music, pleasure, peer approval. All of these are our potential gods that we can place above the Lord, and we're falling into idolatry. So the first, okay, so where we are, we're in the first commandment, okay? We're going through point after point. The first bullet point is loving money, clothes, sports, TV, music, pleasure, peer approval, or a famous celebrity more important than God. Next. Have I made time for God each day in prayer? You pray every Thursday for 20 minutes. But do you spend time to pray every day? You find time to pray every day before you go to bed, when you wake up. Talk to God. God loves you. Talk to Him. He's your best friend. Find time for God. Give Him your attention. Purpose of your life is to get to heaven. These 2 years are very important for you. These could be the determining years of your life, whether or not you're going to be following God or not. Do I pray only when I need something? Or do I also seek to praise and thank Him too? Next week, obviously we're not going to have class because it's Thanksgiving. But you should be spending some time every day thanking God for something. What should you thank God for? Did you mention anything?
Life.
Life, good. What else? What else?
Family.
Family, great. What else?
Friends.
Great. What else? What's that? Okay, the fact we have food to eat, a lot of people are dying of hunger. Yes?
A house.
Yeah, a lot of people, you see a lot of homeless people sleeping underneath bridges, right?
Clothing,
yes. Some people don't even have clothes to wear. Okay, good. Yes?
Blessings?
Yeah, the fact that you can receive a blessing in church from the priest, yeah. All these are gifts from God. Okay? We should learn how to thank God. Those two words, among the most important words you can say, is thank you. Thank you, God. Very important words. And the only thing that we really don't have that we have not received from God are our sins. We've chosen those. But aside from that, food, clothing, family, a house, intelligence, friends, these are all gifts from God. So we should be abounding in thanksgiving for all He's given to us. Let's move on. Have I made a serious effort to get to know my faith well? Since my relationship with God is supposed to be the most important thing in my life. Now this is one way where you can get to know your faith better. Another way, given that we live in the electronic age, the digital age, is watching good movies. Over the past 15, 20 years, there have been some pretty good movies on a human level and also on a spiritual level. For example, the life of Padre Pio or the life of John Bosco or Mother Teresa Calcutta or Saint Francis. All these are DVDs, films that only last about an hour and a half. And it's a good way to get to know your faith by watching DVDs on the lives of the saints. I'm sure that some of your parents, your mom and dad, probably have some of those movies. You've maybe seen some of them. But they're good. For example, on Saturday, I'm going to be with a group of little children, their parents, and we're going to be seeing Il Gran Milagro, The Great Miracle, which is a great movie that came out about 7 years ago, which explains the importance of the Mass with claymation. So take advantage of other ways in which you can grow in your faith. And growing in your faith is something you have to do until you die. Not when you know you finish confirmation and that's basically it. No, in confirmation, that means you should be studying your faith even more seriously after you're confirmed. A lot have a false idea. Well, I'm confirmed, that's it, no more studying the faith. That's totally erroneous. That's totally false. So, that's an important question. Next is this. Have I endangered my faith in God by superstitious or evil practices like witchcraft? Getting involved in Satanism and getting involved in diabolic practices. Getting involved with the occult. Wicca. Ouija boards. You know, the first film that came out on the exorcism. Exorcism 1. Maybe you saw that. There's Exorcism 1, 2, and 3. Exorcism 1, it starts off where you see this little girl that's actually playing the Ouija board. Okay? She's on the table there and the things are moving back and forth. And all of a sudden, the girl starts to act in kind of a weird way. And then even weirder. And she starts to float in the air all higher than her bed. And they bring in a couple of exorcists who actually have to exorcise this girl, which means expel the evil spirit from her. But it all started with the playing of the Ouija board. I got the movie out there, the Ouija. So be careful with the games that you're playing. You might feel that these games are basically harmless, but they're not. They can really open up the door to the satanic. So to be very careful not to be engaging in practices that can open up the door to the diabolic. You know, back in the 60s, you had rock and roll groups that were actually praising the devil. Maybe some of you have heard of the Rolling Stones. Ever hear the Rolling Stones, you guys? With Mick Jagger? You know, back in the 60s, they were actually singing a song, and it's called Sympathy for the Devil. Which, if you listen to the words, you can hear Mick Jagger and the other singers, where they're basically praising the work of the devil through the centuries. Another one is that you probably notice there in Carson and Juan, right across the street, you can see a big hand which says, know the words? You ever notice in Juan and Carson with a big hand? It says, psychic reader. Oh. You ever see that? Psychic reader, $5 special. So you don't want to get involved in that. If you're going to go there, you're going to be sitting there, and there's going to be someone that's going to be saying, I'll read your hand. That'll be $5. Then the next time it'll be $10. Then it'll be $25. Then it'll be $50. And before you know it, you know, you're losing all of your money. So they save $5 as a bait to get you in there, and then they jack the price up higher and higher. And they play on your emotions. So wherever you go, almost every city in L.A., you're going to be finding one of these psychic readers that take advantage of people that are sad, depressed, maybe they've broken up with their boyfriend or their girlfriend, and they go there, and these people take advantage of their emotional problems. And these are psychic readers. They'll read cards, the tarot cards, they'll look in the crystal ball, they'll try to prophesy your future, they'll probably prophesy what's going to happen next week. And if you're not in a state of grace, you can easily fall into their trap. So keep away from them. Next. Am I wholehearted in accepting and following God's teaching? Or do I only pick and choose only the parts of His message that please me? So what the church teaches, you have to accept the totality of what the church teaches. In the church, it's not cafeteria Catholicism. You go to cafeteria, you pick and choose whatever you like. Rather, in Catholicism, you have to accept the easy doctrines, but also the hard ones. Easy to believe in heaven. We all love that. But to believe in the reality of hell, that's more difficult. And there are Catholics who actually say, well, I can't see how God would send anyone to hell. That's a tough doctrine. And many reject it. So everything that the church teaches, you have to accept in its totality. Let's read on. Do I believe the false idea that one religion is just as good as another? In other words, well, the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith, it's all the same God. It doesn't really matter. There's a big difference. You know, you guys, you ought to be thankful because you're in the true religion. You got to be thankful for that. You're in the true religion. Catholic faith, Catholic Church was founded by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Even though all the members of the Catholic Church are not perfect, but it is the authentic church, and be proud that you're a Catholic. Get to know your Catholic faith. Study your Catholic faith. Love your Catholic faith. Spread your Catholic faith. Tell others about your Catholic faith. You ought to be proud that you're in this religion, the Catholic faith, even though we're going through tough times. Okay, have I denied my faith before others? Have I been willing to affirm, defend, and practice my faith before others, and not just in private? So that's the first commandment, which is the foundation of the other Ten Commandments. It's basically our relationship with God. The most important thing for us in our life is to try to grow in our relationship with God. To really love God, get to know God, and to make God loved, known and loved by others. Second commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Say that. Say it again. Okay, God's name is very holy. God's name is very holy. And it should be always used with great respect. The name of Jesus is the holiest name. St. Paul says, at the name of Jesus may every knee bow in heaven and earth and below the earth. So great respect for his name. Do I love and have reverence for God's name? Have I used God's name carelessly, in anger, or in surprise? Have I called on evil on anyone? Have I used foul language? Do I try my best to fulfill promises and resolutions that are made toward God, especially those of my baptism, confirmation? Have I shown disrespect for Mary, the saints, the church, and those who have consecrated their lives to God? Okay, that's the second commandment with respect to God's holy name. Third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. Okay, say that. Say it again. Okay. Did I miss Mass on Sunday or a holy day of obligation through my own fault? Do any of you know any holy day of obligation which we have to go to Mass, even though it might not be a Sunday? Well, we don't have to go to Mass on Ash Wednesday, but it's a good idea to do that, because that's when we start Lent. Christmas, right. What was the day that we were supposed to go to Mass, the very beginning of this month? Well, go ahead. Or what?
The beginning of this month.
Okay, what was the feast day that we celebrated at the very beginning of this month?
All Saints,
okay? So All Saints, we go to Mass on that day, even though it's not a Sunday. Now, All Souls is the day in which we pray for the souls in purgatory. You're not obliged to go, but it's a good idea to go to pray for the deceased. Okay, another would be the Assumption. The Immaculate Conception. These are holy days of obligation. Now, what would happen if you miss Mass when you're sick Will that be considered a sin if you miss Mass when you're sick? What do you think? No. If, for example, you're really sick, you're maybe in the hospital, you got a flu, you got the fever, and you're really feeling bad, okay, you miss Mass on that day, that's not going to be a sin. But if you miss Mass because of laziness, that, of course, is a sin. Say, for example, your mother's home and you have a little sister that's sick and your mother's there by herself because maybe your father's in Mexico and your mother's there watching over your little baby sister who's been sick, okay? And that would not be a sin if your mother to miss Mass on Sunday. Important to know that, okay? If you miss Mass because of negligence or laziness, then that's wrong. Okay. Have I really prayed and paid attention during Holy Mass? Or have I just gone through the motions? Do I participate in Mass by singing and praying the responses? Or do I simply sit as a spectator, wanting to be entertained? Do I pay attention to the Word of God and try to apply it to my life? In other words, when you're in Mass, you want to listen. You want to listen to the Word of God. You want to respond when you should be responding. You want to participate. And what's the most important part of Mass? What would be the most important part of Mass? What are you going to say? What? Great. You're both right. And why is that the most important part of Mass? Because what is Holy Communion?
The body of Christ.
It's the body of Christ. So that's the most important part. So every Sunday, you want to, all of you want to be able to receive Holy Communion. That should be the very center of your week, to be able to receive Holy Communion, which is the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Jesus Christ. Body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. Can you receive communion during the week?
Yes.
So weekday Mass you can receive communion?
Yes.
You know how many times you can receive communion?
Twice a day.
You go to Mass in the morning or you go to Mass in the evening, you can receive communion twice a day. Yes? Go ahead. Yes. We're after him then, okay? Yes. Receive communion more than twice, then that would be wrong. Okay? Twice a day is enough. Okay? Twice a day is enough, okay? Even if you receive communion once a day, you go to daily Mass. That's good. Some of you maybe don't even receive communion once a week. You want to make sure at least once a week you're receiving Holy Communion. What might prevent you, even though you go to Mass, what might prevent you from receiving communion on Sunday? What's that? Say, for example, you're in Mass and you don't receive communion. What might be a reason? Yes. Mortal sin. So if you're aware of a mortal sin that you commit, then you really shouldn't receive communion. You can go up and get a blessing. A lot of people go up and they get a blessing. But you shouldn't receive communion in mortal sin because that would be another mortal sin. So you commit a mortal sin, what you should do is try to, what should you do to get back on track? What's that? Get back on track, what should you do to get out of mortal sin? What are we doing right now? preparing ourselves to what? Okay, so you make a good confession, then you're ready, you can receive communion again. It's a good idea to get in the habit of making confession. You guys, you go to confession, say at least once a month, not earlier. Okay, now, have I arrived at Mass late due to carelessness or left early without a serious reason? So we should try to arrive at Mass early. Okay, to prepare ourselves well, we should try to leave Mass not before the Mass is over, but after not only the blessing, but also after the final song. That's what we should do. Now, have I kept the Eucharistic fast before Holy Mass? Do any of you know how long the Eucharistic fast would be? Fast means you can't eat anything before receiving Holy Communion. No. No, 1 hour. So you can drink water. Okay, you can have medicine, but also you can't, if you're chewing gum, that would break the fast. Okay? Eating a lifesaver, that would break the fast. But listen to this. In LA, Los Angeles, if you do break the fast, you can come up to the priest and you can ask for a dispensation. Know what that is? Dispensation is, Father, I ate something in the car when I was coming. Can you give me permission to receive communion even though I just ate something? And the priest can give you permission in the Diocese of LA. So it's good to know that. You might be in the car and by an accident you maybe pop something in your mouth. You broke the fast. So you ask the priest, and then he gives you a dispensation. Is that clear?
What if you, let's say you're 30 minutes into the Mass, let's say not eating something before Mass?
Yeah, say for example, Mass starts at 10 on Sunday, and you finish eating by 9:30. Now the priest is giving out communion by 10:40. So you've done the fast. Okay? Is that clear? You've done the fast. Water you can take. Medicine you can take. Okay? And you can have also the dispensation. Next. Have I received Holy Communion in a state of mortal sin? Say, for example, you know, you miss Mass on Sunday because of laziness, then you go up and receive communion anyway. Then you make what's called a sacrilegious communion. You want to try to avoid doing that. So if you're aware of having committed a mortal sin, if you're aware of that, then try to go to confession as soon as possible. Get back in God's grace and then move on with life. Loving God, serving God, praising God, worshiping God, so you can get to heaven. That's why we're here. Okay? Okay, next. Did I do work on Sunday that was not necessary? So Sunday is supposed to be a day of rest. Supposed to be a day of rest. Also supposed to be a day in which we try to build up our family bonds. It's important to try to bond with our family members. Next. Have I used Sunday just as a part of the weekend? Or is it a day for acts of love toward God, my family, and those in need. Like a weekend mentality that for a lot of people, Sunday is just like Saturday, just like an extended Saturday. Where Sunday should be a very special day set apart to really getting to know God, to love God, to go to Mass, to pray more, to be with our family members, and to rest too. Why do we rest? So that the rest of the week we're going to be working hard for the Lord. Okay, next. Fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Okay? Say that. Once again. Okay. Have I failed to be grateful, to thank my parents for the sacrifices they have made for me? Have I disobeyed my parents or those in authority, principals, teachers, coaches, police, etc.? Have I disrespected my family members or treated them poorly by insulting, mocking, ridiculing, or yelling at them? Do I listen to my parents' reasoning when they say no to me? Do I try to bring happiness and peace to my family? Or do I cause tension and division? Do I offer to help out around the house? Do I make time to visit my elderly relatives and those in poor health? Have I ignored or avoided my old friends in order to be part of the popular crowd? That's the fourth commandment. Fifth commandment. You shall not kill. Okay, say that.
You shall not kill.
Say it again.
You shall not kill.
Okay, there are various ways that we can interpret that commandment. Have I physically harmed someone or tried to do so? Have I been violent in my words or actions? So even by strong words, insults, we're actually breaking the fifth commandment. You can really hurt people by insults, by yelling at them, by using sarcasm, by irony. We need to be careful with the words that come out of our mouth. Jesus said that all the words that come out of our mouth, we're going to be judged. Have I intentionally cut or harmed my body, forgetting that it is meant to be a temple of God? Have I done drugs? Allowed myself to become intoxicated? Know what that means? Yeah. Intoxicated, what does that mean? You're getting drunk. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Or done other things that will damage my health? Have I sold or distributed illegal drugs? Have I put others down to feel better about myself? Have I caused another to sin? Have I held grudges or tried to get even with others? Have I hated or failed to forgive someone? Do I get angry easily and lose my temper? Do I act rudely, impolitely, or arrogantly toward others? Did I attempt suicide? What does that mean? Suicide. Trying to kill yourself, okay?
Wait, so it's a sin to have anger issues?
What?
So it's a sin to have anger issues? Like some kids born with anger issues?
Well, you know, yeah, if you're...
It's not funny, but I'm just curious.
It's a good question, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do have anger issues, you have to try to overcome it, yeah. Yeah, because we hurt people by our words, by our gestures, by our violent actions. You got to work on that. I mean, we can bring that to confession, too.
Can I have anger issues?
What?
So, like, when I go to confession, I tell the Father, I have anger issues.
Yeah, and I would maybe try to specify what it is. Might be this, maybe. Yeah, I would think that what you said is true. You know, maybe you're fighting with a brother, fighting with a sister. You know, insulting. Yeah, those are things that can really hurt and disrupt the family life. Yeah, right. And it's important to be able to say sorry, as you're saying, and forgive me. Important to be able to say that. Right? And Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Like cutting oneself, which is really common, especially among teenage girls, cutting one's wrist. What? In other words, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should try to respect our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have great respect. Okay. An abortion. By now you know that an abortion is wrong, right? Abortion, killing an innocent baby in the womb. So human life from the moment of conception until natural death is sacred, yes. What do you think? Both.
Wait, what do you think?
So it's the parent's fault that has the abortion, but also it would be the doctor, the nurse, the institution, the hospital. Everyone that's involved in the abortion is responsible. That's right, yeah. So if you're going to be working, you become a doctor or a nurse one day, or a nurse practitioner, then make sure that you specify to wherever you're working, look, I don't believe in abortion. I'm not going to be doing an abortion. If some of you might want to become doctors or nurses later on, after you finish high school. You don't want to be collaborating in what is evil. Abortion is evil. Well, I mean, what he intends to do is to appoint Supreme Court justices that are basically pro-life. And hopefully if we get some pro-life judges, then we could maybe change what is called the Roe versus Wade decision, which was the saddest decision in the history of this country in January 1973, in which abortion was legalized. So if we can get a court amendment, then we can get, hopefully, abortion illegal in this country. That's our hope. That's our desire. We're still far away from that, but we hope that. Yes?
I'm curious. What if it's a life or death situation?
For the mother?
Yeah.
Good question. Very good question. In 1962, that happened in Italy, in which an Italian doctor and surgeon was pregnant with her fourth child. And she had to decide either between herself or the child. What she said was, I prefer to die myself, and I prefer the child to live. So what happened was, the woman brought forth this little baby girl, and then she died about a day afterward. And now her name is Saint Jana Beretta Mola. She was canonized, she was made a saint a few years back. And she actually gave her life for her little child. Now her child, born in 1961 or two, is a pediatrician from Milan, Italy. She's come to San Diego giving talks. And her mother is a canonized saint.
But wouldn't that be considered suicide?
No.
Suicide? Well, I would say it's heroic. You know, don't you think?
It's like saying a firefighter inside of a burning house saving someone else, and then they died for saving someone else. That's not suicide.
No, it's not suicide. It's heroism. It's like Jesus giving one's life. Yeah. It's a right choice. No. What did Jesus do? He gave us his life for us. But they're good questions. They're very good questions. But all we have to do is sometimes that does happen. And this woman was she suffered a lot. The baby was born, and then about 24 hours afterwards, she actually died. So some people would have suggested that she have the abortion to watch over the three other kids. But it didn't happen. Now she's a saint. Okay. Did I have an abortion or encourage or help someone else to have one? It's probably going to happen in your life. Someone's going to come up to you, maybe a girl that gets pregnant. She's going to say, what do I do? And you guys will have to try to give her good advice and say, look, have the child. And trust in God. And maybe a pregnant girl that's only 15 or 16, you might say, you know, what am I going to do? And you should say, well, the child is a gift from God. Maybe talk with a priest, talk with someone that is pro-life, and have the child. We should try to do all we possibly can to foster life from the beginning of life until natural death. Human life is sacred. Okay? Okay, sixth and ninth commandment. Have I remained chaste and pure in mind and body, as God asked of me? Do you know what adultery is? Adultery is when someone is married and he cheats on his husband or wife. That's called adultery. Cheating on your spouse. Okay? Yeah. What?
People still have sign sheets
when they're married. Yeah, it happens, but it's wrong. Once you get married, you promise to be faithful until the very end. Yeah, your promise is your promise faithfulness, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Okay. So I understand and appreciate the gift of my sexuality and desire to save the gift of myself for marriage. That I deliberately look at impure TV programs, computer sites, videos, pictures, or movies, have I fondled or kissed another person lustfully? Have I treated others in my deeds or thoughts as objects? Did I commit an impure act with myself, masturbation, with others through adultery, sex with a married person, fornication, premarital sex, homosexual activity? Have I been an occasion of sin for others by acting or dressing immodestly? Do I have a reverence for the institution of marriage as God made it, a union by God of one man and one woman? Yes.
How some people get married, like, they don't get married by church? And is that a sin?
Okay, say for example, they go to Las Vegas and they get married, they're two Catholics. They go to Las Vegas and they get married in a wedding chapel. Would that be considered a sacrament? Just a wedding chapel. What do you think? No. You have to get married in the church.
Okay? So it's not a sin?
Yes, it is a sin. Get married. You have to get married in the church. So these wedding chapels that are all over the place, that would be considered a civil marriage, but not a sacramental marriage. Civil marriage. So you have to get married. You have to get married civilly, and you have to get married in the church, by the priest, or the deacon, or by a bishop. Good question, though. A lot of people today, they just start out what's called a trial marriage. They get married, they try it out to see whether or not it works, and if it doesn't work out, they decide to separate. That's not the way it should be done. And your marriage is tough. You got to prepare yourself well with the intention of marrying that person until death do you part. Yes.
I have one more question. If you get married with someone and she divorces you, is it a sin to get remarried?
What do you think? Good questions.
It's a sin.
What do you think?
Quiet.
Well, you're right. Yeah. You know, if she gets married, she leaves you and marries another guy. Okay, she cheated on you. You have no right to do the same thing.
So I can't get remarried?
Okay, you might go through a process of annulment, talking it out with the priest to see whether or not when you got married you had the proper conditions. Because often people get married, they're so immature, they don't even know what marriage is. Okay. Or some are forced to get married, you know. Well, they feel that they're forced to get married because I'm pregnant, therefore I've got to marry him because I've got a child with him. See, so that would be an invalid marriage. Invalid marriage. Great questions. Great questions. No? You guys got really good questions clarifying a lot of these doubts you might have. Given that it's... yes, sir? It's a good question. You know, say, for example, you've always been faithful to your wife and then she's been cheating on you and she leaves you to marry another guy. Seems to be somewhat unfair, right? Well, I mean, what I'm saying is you could go and you talk to the priest to see maybe when she got married, she had no intention to be married forever. Because if you're getting married, you make the commitment, I'm going to be married until death. Maybe she had in the back of her mind, well, I'll just be married for... temporarily, for a limited time. And if she had that as a mentality, then that marriage would be invalid. Yeah.
What if she craves? She gets all confused.
Well, okay, another good thing. Maybe she had psychological problems before she got married. You know? You can't get married. If you have serious psychological problems, you can't get married. That's why the priest has to investigate to see if these people that are getting married, do they have psychological problems? And if they do, they have to try to work through those with professional help. Hopefully they can be healed. But if someone is psychologically off, you can't get married and raise a family like that. I mean, none of us are perfect. But if someone is psychotic, or he's got, you know, maybe some serious problem with depression, or suicidal, or you know, some serious psychological problem. How are you gonna raise a family of three or four kids if you got that? Yeah. Great. So great questions. We're gonna say a closing Hail Mary, and then we'll take
one more question.
Okay.
Okay. It says right here for the seventh and tenth commandment, you shall not steal. And then one of the bullet points, it said, have you played fairy? What if I played a girl, but I stole her heart? Does that count?
that's a type of stealing, too. Yeah, that'd be wrong, too.
That's stealing?
Well, it's metaphorically. Okay, good. Let's close with a prayer, and then we have to have a... Okay, let's Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and never shall be. Well, have a good Thanksgiving, and we'll see you at Mass on Sunday, okay?
What do you think if I do that? Do you have another picture that you want to use? Because I'm going to buy the boys some notebooks so they could put this and keep all the
How about something of Mary, like a Lady Guadalupe?
Lady Guadalupe.
That'd be better. Okay, thank you.
Okay.